more recaps of the legislative session before we can fully close the books and focus our attention on the upcoming elections. Joining us right now is State Representative from the New Orleans area, Stephanie Hilferty. Stephanie, good morning. Welcome back. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing very well as well. We're going to get into what you got done during the legislative session in just a little bit. But I've asked everybody who I've had on, and I'm going to ask you as well, for your description of how things played out at the end.
Sure. The end of the session, as we know, it's, and I apologize, there's an echo on my side. I don't know if you guys hear that. You know, obviously we had the budget. What's important to understand here, Brian, is it was a gubernatorial election year. So we needed if we had not passed the budget by the end of the session, we would have needed a 3/4 vote to pass the budget, which at that point leaves the budget and the decisions around it in the hands of a small group, right? Because you now need to muster 75% of that legislature to pass the budget versus the normal 2/3. When we looked at the budget, we obviously had some good progress in the budget. We paid off $689 million. In debt in UAL, which I think is huge. And for anyone out there, you know, myself included, when you look at paying off your mortgage early, that means you are saving money, not only on the interest, but you're paying off those debts earlier. And so I was really happy to see that included as a part of the budget. Another thing that I followed very closely throughout my time in the legislature is our investment in early education. We made one of the largest investments from the state side this year in early education, and that goes to children being in seats, in early education seats, which I think is really important for the continued growth of our state.
We're talking with State Representative Stephanie Hilferty. Let's talk about that early childhood education for just a second, because the headlines at the beginning of the session read that you guys were cutting like 50-plus million from early childhood education, but as we started to you know, once you get past the headline and read the rest of the story, you learn that wasn't necessarily the case.
What had happened in the past several years, Brian, is that we had used federal CARES Act dollars that had come to our state to open up CCAP seats. And for anyone that's not familiar with CCAP, it's a really good program in that it allows people from a certain economic level to apply for these seats. It is actually an amount of the money. So early ed can cost about $10,000. And that's not fancy early ed. That's just regular full-time working hours, year-round early ed. Mm-hmm. And it gives that family, and I'm going to use rough numbers here, about $5,000 towards that. And then the family puts up the other $5,000. And to participate in this program, you either have to be working in school or in job training. So there are a lot of checks on this program. And our state has invested heavily in this. And this is where the money that we invested this year is going.
Are any children going to be left wanting as a result of the change in the budget, though?
So we can always fund more early ed seats. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to understand a little bit better over the next couple of months. I mean, it's something that we as a state need to look at in its totality. The example I've given is we wouldn't want to say one year, okay, only half of the third graders get to attend this year. I mean, that would be crazy, right? We would never say that. But in early ed, we look at saying, okay, well, we're going to fund this number of seats this year and this number of seats next year, when the reality is we have needs across the board.
We're talking with State Representative Stephanie Hilferty about the recently concluded legislative session. We're going to get back into your bills in just a minute, or get into some of your bills in a minute. And you had one about education, corporal punishment, to be specific, that I want to touch on as well. But before we wrap up on the end of this that talks about how the session ended, what were your takeaways from the headlines about $100 million cut from LDH?
Sure. So when looking at that, that was not a cut from last year's budget. They had requested additional money in this fiscal year. And that $100 million was a cut from the request by the department. So it was not, okay, last year's funding, we're going to cut you by $100,000, and now you're going to have to use that number. They had requested additional funding in this upcoming year, and they're receiving more money than they received last year, but it's $100 the cut is from what they requested, if that makes sense.
No, it does. But the way this was portrayed, I think this was very unfairly portrayed in the media. Everything made it sound like the state legislature in the waning moments of the session was slashing LDH's budget from where it was before, not from where it was proposed to grow into.
Yeah, I think what you just said, what it was proposed to grow into is the interpretation that we look at. It's not a cut from the previous year, which I think is when you hear a cut, you think of the previous year. I mean, that's a natural thought process. But that wasn't so much the case. It was the cut from the growth they were looking to have for this upcoming year.
It would be, if I could give an analogy, it would be like if I went into my boss's office and I said, I want a 10% raise. And my boss says, you're getting a 5% raise. And me walking out of my boss's office saying he cut my salary by 5%.
Right. It's comparable to that because it was a cut from the request for growth.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. We're talking with State Representative Stephanie Hilferty. Okay, as far as the chaos and confusion and everything, what was your takeaway there just as it all played out?
Well, I think there were some delays on the spending cap vote, and that led us to any delay, especially in a short session like this. Even something as simple as saying, I'm going to take my bill next week versus this week. Mm-hmm. In a two-month session, it has huge implications.
Oh.
And so delays earlier on that seemed relatively inconsequential maybe at the time. Okay, we're not going to take the spending cap vote today. We'll take it, you know, Monday or whatever the case may be. That really comes back to you at the back end, and it delays everything because there are certain procedural things, and rightly so, where you have to have time frames when things are announced on one side, maybe in the Senate, and then they lie over a day and they come to the House. And so I think delayed earlier on in the session, you know, even 2 weeks prior, led us to that dramatic end.
Got a couple minutes left with State Representative Stephanie Hilferty. Okay, let's move over to, by the way, Stephanie coming to us from the New Orleans area, Lakeview, to be a little more specific. Your work, what did you get done? What had your name on it that made it through to the finish line?
Sure. I heard you mention the corporal punishment bill.
Yep.
This is something I had worked on over a few years, and in the iteration that passed and was signed by the governor, it allows the parent to sign in the beginning of the year whether or not they want corporal punishment used on their child. So really putting the parent in the driver's seat of that whole discussion and how their child is punished at school, which I think is important. I think a parent really has the right to know and to consent, yes, I want to use corporal punishment, or no, I don't.
Was corporal punishment not already, I don't want to say banned, but how was this not the way beforehand?
So some parishes, it is banned.
Gotcha.
So Orleans, many of the parishes in the southern part, St. Tammany, Jefferson Parish, it's already not used. Some parishes rely on it more so and use it more. And in some parishes, there is already a requirement. The parent has to sign. The parent has to consent. Maybe the school calls the parent different things. Other parishes, that does not exist. 2 years ago, Rapides banned corporal punishment. But prior to that, they did not have this requirement. And a child came home from school black and blue from his waistband to his ankles. And the mom had no idea that corporal punishment was even used in the school. So it shows that there was not any standardization across the state in this practice.
The bill says within it, it says the proposed law retains prohibition relative to students with exceptionalities. How does that play differently than regular students?
So that was a bill passed a few years ago by actually Senator Foyle from the Baton Rouge area. He passed a bill banning students with, as it says, exceptionalities. So any sort of I'm trying to think of the name of it, but educational plans that you cannot use corporal punishment on those students.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it on the rest of the students. And so this bill would really only apply to the rest of the school population.
A couple minutes left with State Representative Stephanie Hilferty about her work during this most recent legislative session. Okay, I got to ask you about one other bill that you had out there, and that was HB 160. Well, give me one quick second here. I just closed it out. It was right in front of me. The abstract says it provides relative to the rights of victims of alleged delinquent acts. What did this bill do?
Sure. This bill has not yet been signed by the governor, so
it's not
law yet. What that bill does, it provides additional rights to victims. So it allows the victim to discuss their crime. So when you look in the Children's Code, there were actually some prohibitions about what a victim can and cannot discuss about their own crime. And I really feel the victim has that right to tell their story as to what happened to them. What it also does is lift the cloak over the juvenile system and how judges are sentencing for certain crimes. And so right now, I think particularly in the Orleans area, you have a crime occur. You don't know what the sentence is. You don't know which judge necessarily, gave that sentence. This would allow that to be public information. However, it would not reveal the identity of the juvenile. So that's what it does. And really looking at a victim-centered approach and making sure that the victims have expanded rights and clearly stated rights within the law.
You mentioned this has not yet been signed by the governor. Has there been any hint as to whether or not he would be leaning towards signing or vetoing? And if vetoing, then what would be the reason for that?
I don't know the reason he might veto it. I haven't had any discussion since the end of session with them on this bill. I know there were some concerns initially with the bill. And we tried to work on those to get it to this position where it passed both houses. So we'll really have to see.
She is State Representative Stephanie Hilferty. All right, all done for this session. So you ready for a veto override session?
I don't think it's hard to say. It's like one end, and
the possibility of a veto override session and the possibility of a redistricting session are both looming right now.
They are. They're both out there.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't ask me about my Dominican bill. I thought that was coming.
The license plate? No, because my wife already has her Ursuline license plate. I can't get a St. Paul's license plate unless I need to go back and reread your bill. But
I say.
Yeah, no, I did not dig in on that one. State Representative Stephanie Hilferty, we appreciate a couple minutes, always.
Of course. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.